弟兄姐妹。
Like to welcome the first time visitors.
也欢迎外出回来我们当中的哈所有的人哈。我们再次，我们就不握手，不寒暄。每一次能够聚集，我都很感动哈，因为看见就像一家人可以再一次的见面。
Every time when I see you all, I'm deeply touched because it's like we as a family we can gather together again.
但是在这样的特别时刻，假设你有收到通知说我们可能会暂停一些的聚会，也请你有一些的心理预备。
But be prepared if you and expect that we may cancel some gatherings.
好，那我们接下来请我们来翻开今天的经文，是在哥林多后书二章二到十一节。
Let's look at today's scripture at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 2 to 11.
好，翻到的时候我们一起来攻读今天的经
文。Let's read together.
好，预备，请。倘若我叫你们忧愁，
除了那能叫你们忧愁的人以外，谁能叫我快乐呢？我想把这事写给你们，恐怕我到的时候应该叫我快乐，那些人反倒叫我忧愁。
我也深信你们众人都以我快乐为自己的快乐。我先前心里难过痛苦，多多的流泪写信给你们，不是叫你们忧愁，乃是叫你们知道我格外的疼爱你们。多人叫人忧愁的，不但叫我忧愁，也是叫你们众人有几分忧愁。我说几分，恐怕说得太重。这样的人受了众人的责备也就够了，倒不如赦免他，安慰他，免得他忧愁过重，甚至沉沦了。所以我劝你们要向他显出坚定不移的爱心来。为此我先前也写信给你们，要试验你们，看你们凡事顺从不顺从。你们赦免谁，我也赦免谁。我若有所赦免的，是在基督面前为你们赦免的，免得撒旦趁机会胜过我们，因为我们并不晓得他的诡计。好，我们经文读到这里。我们都知道，今天全世界对新型冠状疫这个病毒的疫情发展已经失控了。
The coronavirus epidemic has gone out of control and caused a lot of damage everywhere.
许多世人将这股愤怒的情绪发泄在中国人身上。
A lot of people vent their frustrations on Chinese.
我每次看到网络上有报道，中国人在各地被群众殴打、发泄泄恨的这个视频啊，都很难过。
Yeah.I feel so bad whenever I see the videos online show Chinese being the target of random attacks.
包括亚洲人也莫名其妙就被 在路上走一走就被打得像猪头一样。
Even Asians who may not be Chinese were attacked also.
我们先不要去怪那些外国人为什么要仇视亚洲人或是仇视中国人，其实连中国人本身也是。
Let's not blame the foreigners who discriminate against Chinese. Even inside China, it's the same.
我们看见湖北哈这个的车子啊，就是鄂哈，这个鄂就是湖北的车子路过其他省份，不管司机是不是湖北人，也照样被拦下来拖下来打。
Anger was taken out on drivers and passengers of cars with license plate of Hubei province, whether or not they're really from Hubei.
责怪他们，害他们在被迫在家里坐月子啊，不能出去工作。
The crowd blamed people from Hubei for causing them not to be able to go to work.
我也相信那些不管是打人的或是被打的，他们心中都有不同程度的伤害。
I believe both sides suffer various degrees of hurt.
但问题是要去饶恕，容易做到吗
？Is it easy to forgive?
也许你我都不会失去理性，这样乱打人来泄愤、泄恨。但是我相信，我们每一个人在成长过程当中都会受到伤害。
Our case may be different, but growing up, we all experienced some kind of hurt from others.
但我相信，当我们受到伤害，这时候我们最需要操练的功课就是要饶恕。
One spiritual lesson we need most to learn is to forgive.
因为我们都会受到来自他人不同程度的伤害而怀恨在心。
Because we will suffer from various degrees hurt from other people.
例如，你曾经好心去帮助一个失败的人迈向成功，但是他却不认账啊，翻脸不认人，来还过河拆桥陷害你。
For example, you help someone to become successful, but later he paid back evil for good and willfully wronged you.
与你情同姐妹的闺蜜，暗地里却抢走你心爱的男人。
Or your best friend stole your sweetheart.
你最信任的事业伙伴竟然背叛你，让你多年的积蓄、你的投资血本无归。
Or your business partner betrayed your trust and caused you to lose all your savings and investments.
你好心救助车祸受伤的老人，结果却被家属反咬一口，将责任都赖给你。
Or you helped an elderly at the scene of an accident, but the family turns around and blame you for the accident.
这一类的事件不断的、不断的在我们生活当中上演。
Things such as these are not rare.
就算你很幸运没有遇到这样的事，但是根据统计，每个人或多或少都会从你周围的人，甚至最亲密的人受到某些程度的伤害。
But even you're so fortunate that none of these happened to you. According to statistics, one is inevitably hurt by the people closest to him in some shape or form during his lifetime.
所以你没有办法避免伤害，但是最重要是你要怎么样对这样的事来做出回应。
You can't avoid it, but the important thing is you can decide how to respond when it occurs.
就如同当你的牙齿咬到你的舌头，这是很平常的事。
Picture this as when your teeth bite your tongue.
但你会让你的牙齿跟你的舌头彼此为仇，互相报复吗？
Will you turn your tongue against your teeth and make them fight each other?
所以饶恕才是唯一的解决之道。
To forgive is the only solution.
因为当你受到伤害的时候，你就会陷入一个苦毒当中，如同心灵的监牢捆绑着你。
Since when you are hurt, your bitterness will trap you like a prison cell.
让你独自承受这份痛苦的煎熬。
And you yourself is the only one being tortured inside.
而饶恕才是打开你心灵监牢的钥匙，也是你重新得力的秘诀。
To forgive is the key to unlock the prison of your soul and the secret to renew your strength.
否则你一直怀恨在心，不但对你的健康造成影响，甚至还会让你背负一个杀人罪的罪名。有这么严重吗？
If, however, you continue to hold grudges in your heart, not only your health suffers, you also carry the charge of being a murderer.
因为耶稣说，凡恨人的，就跟什么？杀人一样，实在太不值得了。
Because Jesus said that to be angry with a brother or sister receives the same judgment as a murderer.
好，既然我们都知道饶恕非常重要，但问题是我们要如何才能够做到饶恕对方呢？
We know it's important, but how do we forgive others?
从我们刚才所读的经文，我们将会看到一些的方法、一些原则，也适用在我们今天的情境当中。
We can gather some guidelines and principles from today's passage and apply them to our lives.
饶恕的方法。
First, the method of forgiveness.
让我们一起来读第四节跟第七节。
Let's read verse 4 and 7 together. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you.
安慰他，免得他忧愁过重，甚至沉沦了。好，第一个。饶恕呢，不是去忘记，也不是心里不去在意，而是付出行动，至少包括以下三方面。
To forgive is not remember, to not remember, but to put in action at least in three different aspects.
第一个是要去疼爱对方。
First is to love deeply.
在第四节那里讲到，他先前是指谁？保罗写信难过，心里难过的写信，不是叫对方忧愁，乃是叫他们知道他怎么样格外的，怎么不理我，格外的什么疼爱你们。
Yeah, you can tell from Paul's from these verses thatHe wrote them not to grieve them, but to let them know that he loves them deeply.
我们看见保罗在这写信的时候，这个痛苦跟眼泪啊，虽然他没有写出他具体难过的原因是什么，但是我相信 保罗过去已经从这一些人身上受到不少的委屈跟痛苦。
We can tell from Paul's writing that he must have suffered a lot of grievances and hurts from these people in the past, although he didn't give the details.
这也难怪，因为我们，你仔细，当你仔细研究《使徒行传》有关于保罗生平，你就会发现保罗一生的服事遭到最大的逼迫，就是来自他自己的同胞。
And that's not news. If you study the book of Acts or Paul's life, you will know that the biggest persecution of his ministry often comes from his own people.
然而很奇怪的是，保罗呢，他不但不去怨恨这一些曾经伤害他的人，反而能够从心中去深爱这些同胞，并且是格外疼爱他们，这是很不容易做到的。
Surprisingly, Paul has no resentment toward those who hurt him, but loved them deeply instead. This is hard.
因为我们常说由爱生恨容易，但是由恨要生爱，容不容易？不容易。
It's easy to turn love into hatred, but to turn hatred into love is something else.
但是保罗是怎么样做到的呢？
So how did Paul do it?
罗马书第九章二到三节，我们一起来读。
Let's read Paul, Romans 9.
我是大有忧愁。
I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart.
我骨肉之亲，就是自己被咒诅与基督分离，我也愿意。
Those of my own race.
原来他是为着基督的缘故，他是被基督的爱所激励，以至于他可以效法耶稣。去爱那些曾经伤害过他的人。
You see, Paul is able to do it because the love of Christ compels him, and he followed the Christ's example to love those who once hurt him.
在马太福音第五章四十四节这样提醒我们。
Matthew, Book of Matthew reminds us that.
好，如果你的眼睛够好，你可以读大声一点。预备，请。只是我告诉你们，要爱你们的仇敌，为他逼迫你们的祷告，要去爱他们。但是第二个是要去赦免对方。
Second, to forgive willingly.
这是第七节上面就是倒不如赦免他。
Verse 7, now instead you ought to forgive.
赦免并不是说摆高姿态，不跟对方一般计较。
To forgive is not to be arrogant and ignore the other person.
传说中，这个苏格拉底他的脾气非常好。有人问他说，为什么你被每次被人家骂的那么难听呢？你都不生气呢？
Legend has it that Socrates was a mild-tempered person. Once someone asked him how he managed to remain calm when people hurled insults at him.
这位伟大的哲学家苏格拉底他就回了说，假如你被狗咬一口。你会当狗反咬对方吗？
The great philosopher answered, "If a dog bites you, can you bite it back?"
所以呢，不要与这种人一般见识，免得降低自己的格调。
So don't degrade yourself by arguing with them.
但是赦免真的是这样子吗？
But is that true forgiveness?
不是的，赦免的原来的意思就是原谅、饶恕、待以恩慈的意思。
Not really. The original meaning of to forgive is to pardon and to treat the other person with kindness.
我们之所以能够饶恕对方，绝不是因为我们的层次比对方高，修养比对方好，而是因为我们经历主的饶恕之后，也有责任去饶恕别人。
We forgive not because we are better or are more spiritual than others, but because we have been forgiven by the Lord, so we have the responsibility to forgive others.
所以在以弗所书四章三十二节这样说。
Ephesians 4:32 says,
我们一起来读，预备，请。必要以恩慈相待，
be kind and compassionate to one another,
彼此饶恕，
each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
一样。不但如此。还在哥罗西书也这样说。
Colossians 3:13 also says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you."
怎样饶恕？好，还有啊，马太福音六章十五节。
Matthew 6:15.
你们不饶恕，
if you do not forgive others their sins, Your father will not forgive your sins.
从刚才的经我们读到，我们与人的饶恕都与基督与我们的饶恕有关的。
So from the passage we read, we know that to forgive others has something to do with the forgiveness from Christ.
你不要以为饶恕别人是自己吃亏。
Don't assume you will suffer loss if you forgive others.
倘若你不饶恕别人，你的下场更惨。
The truth is, if you don't forgive, the consequences will be much worse.
因为圣经告诉我们，你如果不饶恕人的过犯，天父也不赦免我们，也不饶恕我们的过犯，那谁吃亏啊？
Because if God doesn't forgive you, then who suffer loss?
好，最后一个方法是去赦免对方。第七节下半节接着说，要安慰他，免得他忧愁太过。
Okay, number three is to comfort patiently.
有没有搞错？圣经要我们去饶恕他哦，赦免，还要去安慰他。
The verse says not only to forgive him but also to comfort him. Is it really?
如果赦免呢是只是不再纪念对方的过失，那安慰呢是继续鼓励对方要勇往向前。
To forgive means no longer remembering the other person's fault, and to comfort is to encourage him to move forward beyond the transgression.
前者只是消极的接纳，那后者却是积极的扶持。请问哪一个比较难做到？
The former is passively accepting, while the latter is positively supporting. Which one is more difficult to do?
甚至我们都可以怀疑，全世界到底有几个人能够做到
？I wonder how many people in this world can be such a positive supporter.
我们不是耶稣啊，我们没有办法做到。
We're not Jesus. We can.
请注意，圣经说，倒不如赦免他，安慰他的目的，是为了免得他忧愁。
Now the verse says you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive
言下之意是
，sorrow.
这些犯罪者会因为在被众人责罚之后有了忧伤痛悔的表现，这是有前提的。
In other words, the subject was remorseful after the punishment inflicted on him by the majority. This is the prerequisite for such dealing.
这不是针对每一个犯错者，尤其是毫无悔意的人。
It's not for every transgressor, especially those who show no remorse.
所以这个时候呢，对于那些知错能改的人，请问我们是不是要给他们机会呢
？But to those who repent, shouldn't we give them a second chance?
给予人悔改的机会，才是避免他们沉沦的最好方式。
To give them a second chance is the best way to help them to avoid being overwhelmed.
所以说得更清楚一点，如果你没有真正从心里去饶恕对方，那你根本不会去疼爱对方，甚至付出更积极的行动去安慰对方。
To further clarify my point, if you did not truly forgive the other person, you will not be able to go the extra mile to comfort him.
顶多就是不理他，哦，再也不想见到他。以为这样做到这样地步就不错了，是不是
？And most you would do is to ignore him or to avoid seeing him, right?
也就是说，我们要怎么样知道你有没有从心里真正饶恕对方呢？你要怎么样知道呢？就是说，你要从你是否愿意为对方付出更积极的行动，就可以看出你是否真正的饶恕对方。
So only when you have truly forgiven.The other person, will you be willing to respond in such a positive way?
第二是饶恕的目的。
A second is the purpose of forgiveness.
为什么我们要饶恕呢？我们来读第八节到九节，
Let's read verses
8
and 9 and 11. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would understand the test and be obedient in everything in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes.
饶恕不是为了证明我们比对方有优秀的能力，或是高人一等的优越。
The purpose of forgiving is not to show that we are superior than others.
而是为了满足神在我们生命中那份特别的计划
，but to fulfill God's special plan in our lives，
至少体现在以下三方面
，reflected in three aspects。
第一个是要显出坚定的爱心
，the first to reaffirm your love。
第八节那里讲到，我劝你，我要向他显出那坚定不移的爱心来。
I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love for him.
显出坚定不移的爱心，是指以行动来重申爱心，证实基督的爱，使那悔过者确实知道他已经完全被接纳，回到生命的交通中。
To reaffirm your love is to take a loving action toward the penitent, so he would know that he has been completely accepted back into the fellowship.
所以我们饶恕他人的目的呢，并不仅仅是赦免那些曾经犯错者。
God expects us to go beyond forgiveness and to show our loving kindness toward him.
而是神要求我们还要向这些人显出爱心来，这个行动不容易。
This is hard.
也正因为如此，让我们可以经历圣经所应许的，说在人不能，但在神怎么样，凡事都能。
Yet because it is difficult, we can experience God's promise that with God all things are possible.
也就是说，靠着我们自己的爱心，你做得到吗？我们臣妾做不到，做不到，我们的确做不到。但是靠着神，我们就能够做到了。
We can't do it by our own strength, but we can do it by the power of God.
这就是承认我们自己不能，但是神能。
Indeed, we can't, but God can.
当我们说我们不能，神能的意思不是说那神去做，我不要做，而是说我们要靠着神，我们就可以做到了。
It doesn't mean that if we can't, well, why don't God himself do it? It means that.We can do it with God's help.
其实真正的目的不仅是我们可以靠神活出爱，更是神的爱要从我们身上来流露出来，让对方可以真实的体会那坚定不移的爱。
In fact, the real purpose of forgiveness is to let the subject experience God's steadfast love through us.
也就是说，即使我们有饶恕的行动，倘若对方没有真实感受到这份坚定的爱，那就不算是真正的饶恕。
In other words, even if we have forgiven him, but if he cannot feel or taste this firm love, then to him, it's not true forgiveness.
爱非常的重要。
Love.
爱是消灭仇恨的最佳武器，也是化解冲突的最好解药。
Love is the best weapon to extinguish hatred.It's also the best antidote to resolve conflict.
约翰一书第四章第七节这样说，我们一起来。
First John 4:7 says,
请
"Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God."
认识神。好，接下来又说第十九到。
First John 4:19-20. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God but hates a brother or sister is a liar. But whoever does not love their brother or sister that whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen.
所以当我们能够活出，能够表现这个爱，让人可以看，这才是我们饶恕的目的。
So let others see the love through us.
第二个目的是要试验我们的顺从。
The second purpose is to test our obedience.
第九节他说，为此我先前也写信给你们，要试验你们，看你们怎么样，凡事顺从不顺从。
Verse 9, another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything.
好，我们可以看见在这里试验的目的是要显明那受验者的属灵品格，如同他的爱心，他的信心，还有他的顺服等实际的情形。
The purpose of this test is to see if their spiritual virtues, such as love, faith, and obedience, are real.
虽然在这里呢，表面上他们说顺从，那顺从谁？这种对象当然是保罗啊，因为他有属灵的权柄。但事实上呢，是顺服基督，因为真正的顺从的存心，应该是向着基督。
Although the object of obedience is Paul, for he has the spiritual authority, but in fact they are obedient to Christ ultimately, because the real obedience should be toward Christ.
我们从圣经的另外一个教导，就会明白这样的意义到底是什么意思。在以弗所书，有这样的教导，就是 第五章二十二节，我们一起来读好不好？预备，请。
In a similar teaching in Ephesians 5:22, let's read together. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as you do to the Lord.
我告诉你，大部分的姐妹、妻子看了这一节经文都非常的不满，凭什么要去顺服一位在聪明、能力、学识、判断力都没有妻子强的丈夫呢？
This verse has caused a lot of ill feelings among wives who have to submit to a less capable husband.
现在的女性意识抬头啦，很多女性非常的优秀，甚至比男士、比丈夫还优秀，这也是事实啊。
Yeah.
那凭什么不优秀的人，这个优秀的人要去顺服不优秀的人呢？
Now, women have outstanding achievements. How come a less outstanding person have to outstanding person have to submit to less outstanding person.
其实这是一个误解，因为前一节他的上一节是怎么说的？二十一节是怎么说的？好，我们一起来读，好吧？预备，
Let's read verse 21.
又当存着敬畏基督的心，彼此顺服。
Actually, it's a misunderstanding because the previous verse clearly stated that submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
也就是说，妻子之所以能够顺服丈夫，并不是因为无条件的完全顺服对方，乃是因为她去顺服她里面的基督，也就是以顺服基督的态度来顺服权柄，因为丈夫是妻子的头，如同基督是教会的头，这是权柄。
A wife should submit to her husband the same manner as she submits to the authority of Christ, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church.
所以接下来到了第二十四节才会这样说。
That's why the following verse says, Now, as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit to their husband in everything.
顺服丈夫是有这样的前提，我们真正的顺服是顺服谁？
That's the prerequisite. Our true submission.
好，既然顺服好，或是顺从这么样的重要，那为什么这个要被试验呢？
Submission is important, but why does God test this?
神不试探人，但是他会试验我们哦。其中一个就是试验我们是不是顺从。
God does not tempt people, but He will test us.
我们当中有小朋友，他上学的时候，我们看他上学的时候，老师就会教他们要服从学校老师，是不是？
And there are kids in among us, and when you go to school,
那我们做家长的也是希望我们的孩子在学校要听老师的话。
Teacher, kids are asked to submit to their teachers, obey their teachers.
如果在学校的时候，小孩都不要听老师的话，那你认为他将来长大？他会顺从公司的老板吗？
If a kid does not obey school teachers, do you think he will obey his boss later in life?
假如一位高傲跋扈的妻子永远都要驾驭自己的丈夫，你认为这个妻子有可能会按着圣经的标准去顺服基督吗？
If a domineering wife always tries to control her husband, do you think she will submit to the Lord according to the teachings of the scriptures?
这就是试验的重要啊。
That's why the testing is important.
所以神是借着一些环境来试验我们能不能顺从。
So God wants to test us if we can be obedient.
第二个目的，最后第三个目的是要抵挡撒旦的诡计。
The third purpose is to resist Satan's schemes.
十一节那里说，免得撒旦趁着机会胜过我们，因我们并不晓得他的什么诡计。
Verse 11, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes.
尽管神在寻找机会来试验我们，但是撒旦也在寻找机会来试探我们。
God is seeking opportunity to test us. Satan is also seeking opportunity to tempt us.
但为什么饶恕的目的是为了抵挡撒旦的诡计，不让撒旦胜过我们呢？
But how is it related to the purpose of forgiveness?
我们都知道撒旦很会利用诡计来迷惑、来诱惑我们。
We know that Satan is good at deceiving and confuses with his evil schemes.
这个诡计也可以翻译成阴谋、他的计划、他的策略、企图、设想、打算、目的等等。
Scheme can be understood as conspiracy, plan, strategy, attempt, purpose, etc.
这里呢，保罗也讲说，因为我们并不晓得他的诡计，到底知不知道？
Here Paul says, for we
我们当然知道嘛，他知道他的诡计、阴谋的诡计嘛，就应该知道他的战略是这样的，这诡计多端，我们就要防范，加以防范，否则后果不堪设想。
For we are not unaware of his schemes means that since we know about Satan's schemes, we need to be on guard, otherwise the result could be devastating.
就像我们教会为什么最近那么样的防范这个病毒 的感染，要有警戒之心啊。
Just like we are on guard recently with the virus situation.
撒旦的计谋到处都是，假如我们教会中缺乏彼此赦免的这种属灵氛围，仇敌就会趁虚而入，让弟兄姐妹互相定罪，于是撒旦就会趁机得胜。
If a church is lacking the spiritual atmosphere of forgiveness, the enemy will take advantage of it and use brothers and sisters to convict each other, then he will prevail.
所以我们肢体之间，教会肢体之间，如果我们不肯饶恕，彼此饶恕赦免，无论什么理由都是最愚昧的，只会中了撒旦的诡计。
Whatever excuse we have for unforgiveness is stupid and is fooled by Satan.
相反的，倘若我们都能够在基督里彼此饶恕赦免，才会筑起一道坚固的堤防来堵住仇敌一切的诡计和攻击。
On the other hand, if we can forgive each other in Christ, we succeeded in building a bulwark to ward off the enemy's attack.
所以饶恕的目的不单是为自己的好处，也是为他人的利益，更是为着教会的祝福的缘故。
So the purpose of forgiveness is not only for our own benefit, but also for the benefits of others and church as well.
好，最后一个是饶恕之后会有什么结果？
The last one, the outcome of forgiveness.
好，我们一起来读第二节跟读第七节的，跟还有第十节。
Let's read verse 2, 7, and 10.
预备，请。
For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad, but you whom I have grieved, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive.I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake.
饶恕的结果，第一个是找回自己的快乐。
The first outcome is to forgiveness is find our own happiness.
第二节那里讲到说，倘若我叫你们忧愁，除了我叫那忧愁的人之外，谁能叫我快乐呢？这句话读起来很怪怪的，到底是谁在忧愁？是哥林多信徒们，还是保罗自己，还是曾被保罗责备的人？
Verse 2 is a bit confusing. Exactly who is grieving? The Corinthians, Paul, or the transgressor?
我们读这句话的重点不要放在谁在制造忧愁，或是谁造成谁忧愁，而是谁能够找回快乐的方法。
Actually, the point here is not grief, but happiness.
翻译的更白话一点，这句话的意思就是说，除了你们之外，有谁能够使我快乐呢？
It can be understood as no one can make me happy except you.
所以这个快乐是有一个原因，是一个前提的，不是因为这些曾经忧愁的人心情变好了所以就不再忧愁了，或是从前这些不能善待保罗的人，他们改变态度，开始礼遇保罗了，不是这样子。
Paul's change from grief to joy. It's not because the Corinthians changed their attitude toward Paul.
而是因为提多他回来，他去哥林多教会的时候带着信保罗的信之后，回来的时候跟保罗报告，这个信徒已经忧伤悔改，而欢喜使他欢喜鼓舞。
It's because Titus brought good news that the Corinthians were remorseful, and that made Paul joyful.
这记载在哥林多后书七章第六到七节，我们一起来攻读。
This is recorded in 2 Corinthians 7, 6 to 7. Let's read together.
预备，请。
But God,
安慰丧气之人的神，借着提多来安慰了你我们，不但借着他来，也借着你们从前所得的安慰，安慰了我们。 因他把你们的思想、想念、哀痛和向我们的热心都告诉了我，叫我更加欢喜。也就是说，保罗真正快乐的原因，乃是因为他能够看见浪子回头、彼此饶恕的故事，就真实的在教会里面发生了。
Paul was rejoicing because he sensed the prodigal had returned, and the forgiveness seemed to be happening at the church.
所以最能叫属主的人喜乐的，莫过于找回这些迷失的羊，使犯错的圣徒能够回到正路，肢体之间能够互相啊彼此饶恕、互相赦免，神的爱就能够在教会中彰显了。你说这样的结局美不美？
Indeed, nothing makes God's people happier than a lost sheep found and the forgiveness witnessed within the body of Christ. It's a beautiful ending of how God's love is highlighted in his body.The church,
倘若同样的事发生在我们教会，你说你能够不快乐吗？
If some similar things happen here, wouldn't you be so joyful?
第二个结果是免于对方的沉沦。
Second is avoid to let others be overwhelmed.
第七节的下半节说，免得他忧愁过重，甚至沉沦了。
So that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow.
这句话证明。这位犯错的弟兄在被众人责罚之后，已经有了忧伤痛悔的表现。
Here shows that the brother who is at fault had showed remorse after the punishment.
但这沉沦呢，不是灭亡啊，就像神不愿意一人沉万人得救，不愿意一人沉沦，那个沉沦啊是不一样的。他这里指的是被吞下的意思。
The word overwhelmed here means to be swallowed.
也就是说，中了撒旦的诡计而离开神，就被吞没在世界当中。
And Paul is concerned that he may be tempted by Satan and leave God altogether, swallowed by the world.
免于对方沉沦，乃是我们饶恕他人的结果。
And the outcome of our forgiveness is that the brother will not be swallowed by the world.
所以我们在问教会是什么呢？教会不是一群高尚圣人的聚集，反而是一群蒙恩罪人的集合。
What is church? Church is nothing more than a group of saved sinners.
既然你我都是罪人，那我们很容易的在彼此的不同当中，就会找到对方的缺点，甚至还会从这些的过程当中，我们彼此都会受到伤害的，这都是很正常的事嘛。
Since we're all sinners, it's normal that we sin against each other from time to time.
我们会看不惯对方，甚至我们会刁难，会给予这种责备等等，当然会受伤啊。
Yeah, we sometimes pick on others, and of course, it hurts.
有没有人觉得教会像天堂了？
Anybody think church is like heaven?
你来的有啊，我刚来。
Yeah, maybe you just arrived.
而且要准备要受洗了哈，受浸了哈。但是你来教会久的时候，你会发现说，哎呀，我们都是罪人。
After a while, you may feel that we are all but sinners.
但我要告诉你，教会不但是罪人的机会，但是教会最重要的是什么？是我们能够从错误成长的地方。
However, the church is also where we can learn from our mistakes and grow.
就像我们这个小朋友在家里。不会因为他做错事情你就把他赶出去，你会看到他越来越成长，你会鼓励他让他越来越好，这就是家成长的地方。教会也是如此啊。
Just like if a kid made a mistake, the parent will not drive him out. They will continue to nurture him.
就应该对失败悔改者提供一个接纳、保护与医治。
Church should provide protection and healing for those who repent.
而不应该是沦落成为对人定罪、弃绝他人的场所，而造成别人的跌倒甚至沉沦，那就很不好了。
Not judging them or causing them to stumble.
所以我认为教会最美的地方，绝对不是富丽堂皇的这个建筑物。
I believe the most beautiful thing about a church is not its magnificent building.
教会最美的地方也不是信徒很多，设备很好，这个 program 它的这个很精彩，它的这个音响设备很高级，这都不是。
And it's not
而是我们无论犯了再多的罪，都不必因为惧怕而远离主，只要能够向主悔改，都可以蒙主接纳。这是教会最美的地方。
Church is a place where a repentant sinner can find forgiveness.
不但如此，还有更美的是什么？是信徒无论犯了再大的罪，只要肯悔改认罪，其他的信徒都能够给予赦免，并且接纳与饶恕。
That no matter how big the transgression may be, he can always find acceptance and restoration among the body of Christ.
以免对方忧愁太重而自责到沉沦，反而使对方能够因为这样彼此的接纳而被建造起来，这才是教会最美的地方啊。
That the transgressor can be built up again through acceptance.
最后的结果是可以得到基督的赦免。
The last one.The outcome is to receive Christ's forgiveness.
第十节说：“你们赦免谁，我也赦免谁。若有所赦免的，是在基督面前为你们赦免的。”
Verse 10: Anyone you forgive, I also forgive, and what I have forgiven, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake.
当保罗说这句话的时候，其实背后是保罗跟教会双方面都曾经受到伤害。
From the statement, anyone you forgive, I also forgive, we know that both the church and Paul have been hurt.
而且最大的直接受害者是保罗自己。
In fact, Paul was deeply hurt.
那但是保罗在这里向教会提出彼此赦免的这个提议呢，是不是他自己修养好，所以立下一个榜样？就像夫妻吵架，吵架的一方双方都有错嘛，然后其中一这个比较修养比较高的就主动道歉，双方就彼此道歉，是不是这样子？
But Paul initiated a mutual forgiveness proposal with the church of Corinth.
保罗在寻求和好的背后呢，有一个重要的动机跟目的，就是在基督面前的赦免。
An important modificationmotivation and purpose for Paul to seek that reconciliation is to be forgiven before Christ.
那这有两方面的意义。第一个呢，是在主前代求。
What do we mean by that? It has a twofold meaning. First, to intercede for them before the Lord.
如同摩西他替他的百姓来向神代求，请求神的赦免。
Just like Moses interceded for the Israelites.
另外一个意义是得到基督的赦免。
And the second to receive the forgiveness from Christ.
因为就算人愿意饶恕赦免，这也都是有限的。只有基督的赦免，那才是真正的赦免。
Because man's forgiveness is limited. The true forgiveness has to come from the Lord.
况且人不是神，人不能够赦免罪。所以这不是我们应该做的，最重要是基督的赦免。
Man cannot forgive sin, only God can.
好，所以在以弗所书一章七节这样说。
Ephesians 1:7 says,
我们一起来读。
Let's read together.
我们借着爱子的血得蒙救赎，过
犯得以赦免。The forgiveness of sins
in
accordance with the riches of God's grace.
好，希伯来书十章十七节。
Afterwards, in Hebrews
10:11,
the Lord says, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more.
最重要是我们真正能够得到基督的赦免，这是最棒的结果。
The most important thing is we can receive the forgiveness from Christ.
最后我想我们必须面对一个现实，那些得罪过我们的人，他们的行为确实是错的，并且造成我们损失和创伤也是真实的。
We have to face a reality that the people who sinned against us did something wrong and our loss and hurt are real.
甚至单单听到一句对不起，这也不能够消除我们心中的愤怒，所以我们必须承认要饶恕他们真的很难。
Sometimes even the statement I am sorry from the subject cannot resolve our anger.
但是我要告诉你们一件事情，但如果你不饶恕，那只会更糟糕。
It's really hard to forgive them. Nonetheless, refusing to forgive only makes things worse.
因为它会成为你内心的苦毒，这比病毒还可怕。
The bitterness we harbor inside is worse than virus.
它会慢慢的影响渗透，让你的心灵被辖制，不得自由。
It will become a bondage of us.
不但影响你的身体、你的精神、你的健康，还会剥夺 所有的平安跟喜乐。
Not only affect our health, it will also steal joy and peace from us.
这时候你唯有从心里饶恕，才是我们的唯一的解决之道。
The only solution is true forgiveness from your heart.
也许你会说，哎呀，饶恕对方实在是不容易做到。那是事实，的确，那正是因为你靠自己，你当然做不到，所以你才要需要神给你力量，你才做得到。
Maybe you think it's possible, impossible. True, by yourself, it cannot be done. You need the strength from God.
所以，饶恕并不是一个定念、一个转念，或是睡一觉你就做得到了，而是你要一步一步的操练。
So forgiveness is not an overnight thing. You need step-by-step discipline.
所以，当你先知道饶恕的方法，这样才能够解开你心灵的捆锁。
First, know the method of forgiveness so that you can loose the chain of your soul.
再来，你要认识你饶恕的目的，这样你才能够找到那个执行的动力。
Second, understand the purpose of forgiveness, so you will have the motivation to do it.
最后，你必须要明白饶恕的结果，这样你才能下定决心去完成它。
And third, know the outcome of forgiveness, so you will have the determination to follow through.
当你真正饶恕他人之后，我相信得着益处最多的其实就是你自己。
I believe that when you truly forgive others, you yourself will benefit the most.
因此，让我们大家都一起来操练饶恕。因为这不但是耶稣给我们的命令吩咐，这也是我们得着平安喜乐的秘诀。
So let's work on it together. Not only is it a direct command from Jesus, it's also a secret of receiving God's peace and joy.
相信在不久的将来，你里面的苦毒都会过去，就像这个病毒一定会过去一样。但是神的同在乃是永不离开。
Hopefully in the near future, all your bitterness will be a thing of the past, just like the virus.
也许你心中还有很多的委屈，很多的伤害，不过你可以将这些委屈都告诉耶稣。
Only God's presence is left within you. Maybe you still feel the hurt now. It's okay. You can tell it to Jesus.
让我们一起重新得力，我们来饶恕，一起来饶恕彼此。你说好不好？
Let's renew our strength and forgive each other.
我们一起将我们的愁苦，我们的委屈都告诉。